As Hashem is Baruch, we begin Perek Shnei Ma'aseh, the 12th chapter in the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, in the Sefer Zman, Book of Designated Times, where we continue and we finish off the till the end of the Malacha of Hoitzah, starting from Havara, leaving off from where we left off in the previous Perek, which as Rambam begins Halacha of, regarding the Malacha of Mavir, regarding igniting a fire. So Hamavir Kolshu, someone lights, ignites anything, Chayiv is going to be liable, but who, and that is, Sheit Tzorach Le'efer, as long as he needs the ashes, which is when you ignite something, you burn it for its ashes, it has a constructive purpose, then you're liable for Havar, but if you're burning something in a destructive manner, because, again, that's ruining, and that's not a one of the Lamed Tes Melachas, even something that appears destructive has to have a constructive element. Now, however, if someone lights on fire his friend's silo, his pile of grain, or he burns down his house, chayiv is going to be liable. Though that's destructive, because his intent is to take revenge from his enemy. And his consciousness has cooled down, his anger has cooled. And it's like the halach of kedei al meisav, when someone tears his garment for his relative that passed away, and this anger that he tears his jacket, someone injures his friend when he's fighting, because it's doing something constructive for his evil inclination. So it's in a destructive way. It's a very low level of pleasure. But ultimately, it's something that it's giving him that pleasure. And therefore, it's considered constructive, even though it's a destructive act, like all the destructive acts of the Lamed Tes Melachos, which has a constructive element, here also he would be liable. Someone lights a fire of the candle or of a wood, whether his intention is to warm himself up from that fire or to illuminate, and there's a chayv, he's going to be liable. If someone heats up a piece of metal to purify it, to refine it in, to solidify it in water, that would be a derivative of havar, because it's not the same thing as an actual fire, but it's a derivative, and he would be liable. Halacha Beis, continuing with the next malacha of machaba, of extinguishing. Hamachaba kosher, anyone extinguishes a minute amount, chayiv is going to be liable. And that's echadim, as a chabas in there, whether he extinguishes a candle, vechad machabas a gechel shalates, whether he extinguishes a coal made out of wood. Because a machaba gechel shal matechas, someone extinguishes a coal of metal, actually potter is going to be exempt. The reason for that is because anything that starts up as fire when you extinguish it, it becomes something else. Like, for example, coals, when it's by wood, where before it was extinguished, it was fire. Now it turns into coals. That's the biblical malach of kibbutz. But regarding metal coals, where in the beginning it was metal, when you extinguish it, it's still metal as it always was, that wouldn't be the biblical violation of mechaba, because there's nothing that changed, and therefore that would only be rabbinically as mechaba. Now, v'mneskam letzarif, but if his intention is to purify it, chayiv is going to be liable, because shekein leitshapras leisim. This is those who shine the metal. What they do is mechames abarzlat sheosek acheles. Those who make metal is that they heat up the iron until it turns into like a coal. Mechames b'mayim, then they extinguish it in the water. Kedei lechamtzei lechasmei, so that to like harden it. And this is the letzarev that we spoke about. When you're purifying that, whoever does it is going to be liable, because it's a derivative of malacha of extinguishing, which has a constructive purpose attached to it when you're extinguishing this coal. Now, umutul chabes gechel shematechas b'shusham, but one is permitted to extinguish a metal coal, which we said is only rabbinic, in the public domain, meaning when it's not letzarev, which is only rabbinic, so that the public does not get harmed from this metal coal that's on fire. And hanisin shem latech haner hadelik. Now, if someone puts oil into a candle that's lit, chayim shemaver, is he liable for a fire, making a fire? Because by putting in oil, that's now you just added fuel, making more fire. If I'm stopping when Hashem shemaner, if someone actually utilizes the oil in the lamp, chayim shemaver, he's liable for extinguishing, because you just took away the source of the fuel, which is an act of extinguishing. Halacha gimel, delay kushin nafal b'shabbos. If there's a fire that happens on Shabbos, if someone extinguishes the fire because of the loss of money, meaning his house is going up in fire, chayiv is going to be liable for the malacha of mechaba. She'in ibud mamon doicha Shabbos, because the loss of money doesn't override Shabbos. Il ibud nafashas, only the loss of lives. Let the people leave, that they shouldn't die. But they have to leave the fire burning. Even if it burns down the whole town, it doesn't make a difference. There's no reason to allow one to put out the fire. Halacha Dalet. Mutar la'asos mechitza b'chalakim. A person is permitted to make a partition from all types of vessels, b'malei, b'nerkan, whether they're full with something or they're empty, k'dei sh'lo yitabat leika, to block the fire that it shouldn't pass. And that's afilu kli cheves chadashim, even by new earthenware vessels that are easy to shatter. U'malei mayim, full with water, which obviously that's going to extinguish the fire that it comes with and burns. Oisim mechitza, you're allowed to make such a partition. Even though it's definitely going to burst and then it's going to extinguish the fire, because you're not extinguishing actively, it's a causation of extinguishing where you did something that now it will indirectly cause the fire to go out. Mutter is permitted. So to be kof and kogal gaben there, you're allowed to cover with a plate, a bowl over a lamp, especially techas b'kodesh, so that it shouldn't go catch on to the roof. And it's not a problem of moving a vessel for a purpose that's not a Shabbos purpose. Halacha hey. Teva, a box, shida, a small box, a migdal, a closet. Shach has been the or. If a fire caught a hold of this box. So maybe or gedi, what you could do is you could bring the skin of a kid goat. Or a similar thing, midvar, mishaino, or malahetis, ba oisam. From anything that fire doesn't catch onto them, it goes out when it comes to such a material. So what you do is you bring this skin. You stretch it out on the edge of that box that the fire didn't catch onto it yet. The fire shouldn't spread over there because it's going to come to that leather. It's going to go out. Halacha vav. Talish achas ba'ur. If there's a jacket, a cloak that fire has caught onto, so what you could do is push. You could stretch it out. Umiskasavan. You could use it to wear. Now, as you're doing that, vimkavsa. If it extinguishes it, so kavasa is extinguished. It. And the reason for that is because this is also gram kibur. It's only indirectly causing it to go out, and because he's like wearing it, and he's going to be potter. So to a Torah scroll, sha'achas ba'ur, that a fire has caught onto it. So what you do is poish tevikar, but you open it up and you read from it. Vim kaven, by that, by opening up, it caused it to go out. It's kaven. It caused it indirectly to go out. So to benoisin ma'im in that side, you can put water from the side, sha'adayin le'nitla ba'ur, where the fire has not caught onto yet. Vim kaven, if it goes out, kavasa, again, you didn't pour the water on it, you indirectly caused it to go out. Sha'achach ner dalak al gabay tavla. Someone forgot a lit candle on a tray. So manaras or tavla b'neifel, you could shake the tray and cause it to fall down. Then cover it, and if it goes out, okay, cover it. Why not? Indirectly causing it to go out. Now, however, let's say you didn't forget it. You left the leichter on the tray from the evening from Friday night. Then after bishul cover, then even actually once it even went out already, asal tavla, you're not allowed to move the tray, and that's known as the halacha as a basis, because since it was secondary to the prohibited item of the candelabra, which is secondary to the candle, which is secondary to the light, all of it becomes elements of muktzah, and even after it goes out, since it was muktzah by Friday night, but ben hashmashes, it becomes muktzah for the whole entire Shabbos. L'chazayin. Now, let's say nachash shabbat l'chabbos. So we said, you know, put out the fire. But let's say a non-Jew is coming, the fire fighter is coming to extinguish the fire. So ein oimim lo kabei. And I'll tell him, put it out, extinguish it, because that's amir l'nachri. Telling a non-Jew to do a malacha is forbidden, rabbinically. But at the same time, al techabe, you don't have to tell him not to put out the fire. Because when the non-Jew does it on his own, he's doing it for his own personal benefit, even though it seems to be doing for the Jew. And since he's doing it for his own personal benefit, his resting on Shabbat is not our responsibility. So you're not allowed to tell him to put it out, but you don't have to tell him not to put it out. But if a child is coming to extinguish the fire, in general, we don't listen to him, and we don't allow him to put it out. If he's doing it for the purposes, he knows it's tatzis, it's his father, it's his abba, that's when you allow him to do it. If he's doing it for his own self, not to do it with his father, then the courts don't have to separate him from doing a prohibition. He's only a child. Now, in general, regarding a fire, they permitted a Jew to say in front of the non-Jews, because of the situation of the fire, kol machabe in mafsin. Whoever puts it out won't lose. So suffice it to say, he'll get the hint and he'll put out the fire, but you're not actually tell him to put out the fire. Halacha ches, continue with the last malacha of haitza, carrying something out from one domain to another domain. Haitza b'achnasa mishus l'shus, carrying out or bringing in from one domain to another domain, malacha me'avas malachasi, is one of the 39 primary categories of prohibited activity on Shabbos. Now, although this halacha, im kol gufei Torah, with all the primary precepts of the Torah, mipi Moshe misina nemru, from the mouth of Moshe from Har Sinai were said, but we have a passage in the Torah in Shemais that alludes to it. It says, ish v'isha al yasu oid malacha, a man and woman should not do any more malacha, constructive work, l'trumas ha-kodesh, for the donations of the holy items, and the people stop from bringing. So it's saying malacha and bringing. What you learn from this is shavah, that bringing, which was bringing it from their own house, which is Rosh Hashanah, to Moshe Rabbeinu, which it was Rosh Hashanah, because everyone came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Malacha Karyos, the pasuk is calling it a malacha. So you see that Haitzah, Hachnasa, is called a malacha. V'chein lamdum pe'ashmu, so do they learn from tradition? Shamav b'shusar gabim. Not even going from one domain to another domain. Someone just transports in the public domain. Mitzchilas abba l'seif abba, a distance of 4 ames. Harei kumaitzim b'shus l'shus v'chayiv, it's the same liability as taking from one domain to another domain, and he's going to be liable. Halacha tes. Ein domain to b'shus l'shus chayiv. One is not going to be liable if he transports something from one domain to another domain. Atche yoytzi kishir hamoil. Until he carries out an effective measurement of the item that is carried, whether it be Mishas Yachal Lishas Ram from a private domain to a public domain, or Mishas Ram Lishas Yachal from the public domain to the private domain. Moreover, another stipulation is V'yakar Mishas Zu V'yanich Mishas Nia. You have to uproot it, meaning you have to pick it up from one domain and place it down in the second domain. Avel Ma'akab L'yanich, but let's say you picked it up, but you never put it down in the other domain. Or you put it down, but you weren't the one that picked it up from the first domain. Or you carried out less than the measurement of whatever that item that you're carrying out would be considered significant for, Pata is going to be exempt. So let's say someone carried dalat amas, 4 amas, 4 cubic feet in the public domain, in the chayv is not going to be liable, until he picked up something that was the measurement from one side and put it down on the other side. So the measurement, en akira, en anocha, and dalat amas, then he's going to be chayv. In Mishus Rab. Aloch Yud. Hazarik Mishus Rab. If someone throws from one domain to another domain, or he stretches out, he passes it. That's a derivative of carrying out when your whole body is going out and carrying it. V'chayv is going to be liable. So too, let's say someone throws or carries, extends with his hand. An area of 4 amas. In Mishus Rab. Again, that's a derivative of Haitzah. V'chayv is going to be chayv. Now, if someone throws in the backhanded way, Pata is going to be exempt. Again, because whenever it's not done the normal way, that's not the biblical prohibition. The same thing is for the malacha of Haitzah. Halacha Yidalf. Hamaitzi miktas hachevitz mishus. Someone carries out a part of an object from a domain, mishtei rishus eilu, from any one of these two domains, whether it be rishus eilu, rishus ram, rishus shanei, to the other domain. Pata is exempt. Achayitzi eskola hachevitz kulei. Until he carries out the entire object, mishazul, rishuzul, from this domain to the other domain. If you have kupa shemilei chavatz meir, let's say you have a box that's full with items, but it's one box. A film lei chargal, even if it's full of mustard seeds, which is many of them that are going to be out and in. V'hitzi ruba mishus l'shuzu, and he carried out most of the mustard seeds from one domain to another domain. Pati is exempt at she'etzes kol kupa until he carries out the entire box. Emchin hakol adam lezeh, anything that's similar to this. Because shakli mesim kol sheyesh b'kechevitz echad, the vessel makes whatever's inside of it like one object. So although you did carry these mustard seeds, the majority of them, from one domain to another domain, yeah, but the box is considered one item, and you didn't carry out the entire box. Halachid beis, hamaitzi, someone carries out b'memina b'mesmal, whether his right hand or his left hand, which is normal to carrying the left hand. B'metocheke, whether in his bosom, or sheyatzah b'moyz truin lo besadina, or he goes out with money that's wrapped up in his cloth. Chayv is gonna be liable. People carry out money that like that or whatever the item is. In any one of these areas. So if someone carries out something on his shoulder, even though you're carrying out a load above 10 tefachim into the public domain, and generally the area of Rosh Hashanah only goes up until the area of 10 tefachim, so you're seemingly not carrying it in the normal way from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, yeah, you are, because again, we learn that everything from the way the malachas were done in the Mishkan. And from the children of the family of Kaz, they carried out Mishkan, Lamal Masara, when it was above 10 Tvachim, Shinem, like it says in the Bazim HaMid, by Kasa B'Yiso, they carried it on their shoulders. And B'chol HaMalachas, the Mishkan Lemnais, and then all the malachas learned from the Mishkan, and therefore, if someone carries out something on their shoulder, even if it's above 10 Tvachim, would be the same Haitzah that we learn that from B'nai Kaz. Halach Yid Gimel. Now, Aval HaMaitzi L'Achar Yodah, if someone carries out something in a backhanded way, or Baragla with his foot, or Bepiv with his mouth, or Mampeka with his armpit, or Basna with his ear, Ubis Agar in his ear, Ubakisha Tava Bevigda, or let's say it's a pocket that's stitched onto his garment, but a Pia Kislamata, but the opening of the pocket is facing downwards, or Bemingla Begad between one garment and another garment, or Befibigda, or in the hem of his garment, or Beminale when the shoe, or Besandola when his sandal, Pate, all these ways that you carry, you can be exempt, Shlohit Tikitach Matin, he didn't carry the way people normally carry items. Halachi Dalad. Now, Hamitzi Masa al Reishiv, someone carries out a load on his head. We spoke about it before on the shoulder, but that's normal, but on his head, so it depends. If it's a heavy load, like a full sack, or a table, migdol, kizbin, or a box, or a closet, or some type of thing, which you may smell, where he puts it on his head, and he grabs a hold of it with his hand, then chayiv is going to be liable. Because shekin derech matzin, that's how people carry out heavy items. It comes out, it's similar to when you transport on your shoulder or in your hand. But if he takes a light object, like he takes a jacket or a safer or a book or a sakan or a knife, I'll raise it on his head, but he carries out. Not holding onto it with his hand. He's a potter, he's going to be exempt. He's not carrying it the way people normally carry, because it's not the norm of most of the people of the world to carry out objects with his laying on his head. Now, if someone transports an object, an area of 4 amas in Rosh Hashanah, Alpha Bishay Vigil Malamirich, even though he carries it above his head, not on his head, but above his head, Chayiv Zimbi Chayiv, again, that would be included in the Malacha of Haitzah of Mavri Dal Amas Rosh Hashanah. Halacha Dezvav, regarding that, the way the Rambam understands that it's permitted to carry within Dal Amas. We said the Malacha of Haitzah is when you carry at least Dal Amas, but less than that. A person is allowed to move around an object in the public domain, but in the area squared of 4 amas, where he's standing there on the side of that 4 amma square. And the yeshlo taltal b'chol merub hazeh, he's like carrying in that entire square. Now, when we say an amma, we measure with his amma. So if a person was very tall, his amas are going to be longer than another person because it goes based on his arm length. And we measure with him. Now, if his limbs were dwarfed, so we don't go with that small for him to be liable. Let me give him the medium size. It's going to be lenient on either way. We're going to give him the 4 amma of a medium-sized person. Now, from the tradition, it was said, this is what it says in the Torah in Shemais. Every man has to sit in his place, beneath him. What does that mean to say? It means that you cannot carry out of this square, only in this square, which, why is that shavu ishtachta? A man has to stay in his area, meaning shu kamidas arich adam. It's the measurement of the length of a person, which is beneath him. Because he stretched out his hands and his feet, that's going to be an area of dalad hamas. Only that area is he allowed to carry. That's what means ishtachta, that only that he has to stay over there. But beyond that would be the malacha of haitzah, of marid al ramas, b'shasarab. Halacha tazayin. Now, oyishnayim. Let's say there were two people. Mixes arba amishalzeh, lechach arba amishalzeh. Well, it's called a Venn diagram. If you have the al ramas of one, that it overlaps a little bit on the al ramas of this other person. And again, we said in their al ramas, they're allowed to carry. So mavin moichel memtza, they can bring and eat in the middle. Between them, as long as one person is not going to carry from beyond his Dalai Lamas into the other person's Dalai Lamas, you can only go in the overlapping area, which is both within their own Dalai Lamas. Now, if there are three people in a line, where time, and the middle one overlaps the two on his right, the one on his right and the one on his left, so he's permitted with them on each corner, and they're permitted with him. But the two outer ones are forbidden with each other because they'll be going beyond their Dalai Lamas. Therefore, means to say that it's permitted to carry an object in Rosh Hashanah with a Dalai Lamas. It's permitted for a person to pick up an object from the public domain and to give it to the friend that's with him, who's within his Dalai Lamas, because he's allowed to carry within his Dalai Lamas. Now, his friend is a little bit further away from him. He has his Dalai Lamas. He could give it to his friend that's on his side. So I feel like even if it's 100 people, even though the object is going traveling many mil, which is a huge distance of like more than a mile, it's many milin on Shabbos, which is permitted. Because everyone will carry in their Dalai Lamas. He's going to him and he's going to him, and each one didn't carry beyond Dalai Lamas. Now, like we said, since it's permitted for a person to move around an object in his whole square, which is 4 amas squared, nimtza comes out, comes out that really allowed to carry in the length of the hypotenuse, of the diagonal of this square, 5 3/5 of an amma, because there's a Talmudic principle, kal amtza b'ribua, any amma squared, is amsa trichum shabalaksaina. In its hypotenuse is actually going to be an amma and 2/5, because the line is longer on that diagonal. So the fikach, therefore, actually in a maver, there's no liability for transporting or hazarik or throwing b'shus ram in the public domain to be chayv to be liable. Actually, until you transported beyond 5 3/5 of an amma, because although we said 4 ammas, but really this square allows you that area, and if you take it on that diagonal, it's really 5 3/5. Now, but this that we always say that, if you're carrying 4 ammas, or if you just transport 4 ammas, you're going to be chayiv. It's actually from the beginning of the diagonal of the 4 ammas squared till the end. However, if you do less than 5 3/5, potter, you're going to be exempt. As Rama says, it comes out really count shalish, means it's really 3 different measurements. If someone picks up an object from the public domain, from one place, and he puts it down in another place in the public domain, if it was up until, but not 4 ammas, until 4 ammas, that's going to be permitted because it wasn't more than 4 ammas. But let's say it was more than 4 ammas, but it's still less than 5 3/5 of an amma, potter will be exempt, which the potter always says it's aser, but you're going to be exempt from liability. But it was exactly 5 3/5 of an amma, because he actually transported the object beyond the diagonal of the square, which is what the liability actually is.